What's going on, guys? We are back with a new installment of the Geek Easy podcast, and boy, do Jonathan and I have a ton of stuff to discuss today. So definitely stick around. We have a lot of really interesting topics that I think you guys are really going to enjoy listening to. And hey, I would love to encourage some feedback from you guys. So if any of you out there have any comments, or if you want to send us questions on anything, if you want to ask us our thoughts on specific things, I would love to hear from you guys. If you follow us on Twitter, at PixelDan or at JLeonard31, and just tweet at us and maybe even use hashtag GeekEasy and ask us a question or give us a thought or opinion, and we would love to bring it up on the next episode. Or feel free to also shoot me an email, admin@pixel-dan.com. Just make sure you title it Geek Easy Question and email it on to me, and we would love to read it on the next episode of the Geek Easy Podcast. Now, before we jump into the discussion bit, I of course want to take a moment to give a shout out to the sponsor of the Geek Easy Podcast over at NerdRageToys.com. If you guys have not yet checked out NerdRageToys.com, what are you waiting for? It's one of my favorite sites online to go when I need a toy fix. When I'm itching to buy something new to add to my collection, I always check there first to see what they have in stock, because they have an amazing assortment of vintage toys, which is one of my favorite things to buy these days. You got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers stuff. You've got Computer Warriors. You've got Ghostbusters, G.I. Joe, GoBots, Marvel, Masters of the Universe, Sectars, Star Wars, Superpowers, Ninja Turtles, Transformers, Visionaries. Whew! Running out of breath because they have so many cool things there. They also have surplus lots. They have peg warmers that are going at incredibly great prices. And they even have some pre-orders for some upcoming new toys like Star Wars The Black Series. So check them out at NerdRageToys.com. And you can also hop on over to their brand new site, NerdBids.com. For pop culture auctions. It's your alternative to using eBay. There's no final value fees, and auctions only cost 50 cents to list. So you can sell your toys, you can buy some toys. There's nothing wrong with that at all, right? That all sounds good. So check it out, NerdRageToys.com, NerdBids.com, and now on with the episode.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geek Easy.
Welcome back to another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast. I am Pixel Dan.
And I'm Jonathan Leonard.
What's going on, John?
Man, it's been a long week.
It has been.
Yeah.
A bit of a long week. I know. Yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But apparently not just for us, because we got a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, it's been a big news week, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. A lot of things are going on, and it was crazy just kind of... We had an email string going back and forth of all the things that we wanted to try to bring up on the podcast, and it was like, as the day was going on, I felt like things were popping up, because even one of your talking points that you sent early in the day, like a confirmation, came through later in the same day.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's
yeah.
How crazy this week has been for news and stuff, I think.
Yep. It's one of those, you know, sometimes you just get that feeling like as you're, I don't know if researching is the right word, but
right.
As you're paying attention to something, like it's like somewhere in Hollywood someone's ears are burning and they just got to get out there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because
that was exactly it. We were talking about a couple things like, oh, we haven't talked about this, kind of want to bring it up, and then 4 hours later, I'm like, oh, also, here's this follow-up from actual
Now we
news.
Should definitely bring it up, because now we have confirmation.
We're being all cryptic like it's a huge
we
surprise.
Are being
We're
cryptic.
Just talking about Ghostbusters.
I was going to say, that's a good place to start anyway. Let's
yeah,
just
might
do
as well.
It. Let's talk about Ghostbusters.
Yep.
And the reason that you wanted to bring it up initially is because there's been all these rumors and speculation that there are talks of doing a Ghostbusters reboot featuring an all-female cast.
Yep. And let's clarify for our listening audience and hopefully everyone else on the internet, I'm hoping people get this point through their skull at some point.
Yeah.
No one seems to actually know what reboot means.
Right.
Yeah.
They use the term reboot for anything and everything right now.
Anything that isn't a direct sequel with the next number in the title is considered a reboot for some reason.
They were calling the new Transformers movie a reboot. Remember? I feel like that's the movie that started it.
Yeah, no, it's been that was a very prominent sign because that's when everyone can look at it and go, well, that's not right.
And it wasn't a reboot.
No, not at all. Not even kinda.
Like, it was a straight continuation of the stuff that happened in Transformers 3, yet they kept saying reboots.
Yeah, like they dropped Shia, added Marky Mark, and now all of a sudden it's a reboot.
Yeah, exactly. Shia's gone. That doesn't mean it's a reboot. The story is still the same story. It's in the same universe. Yeah.
Reboot is when you take a movie like, let's say, The Amazing Spider-Man. That was a reboot.
Yes.
Because you took a popular, more or less current franchise of Spider-Man movies and said, you know what? We're going to go back to stage one and retell our own story.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to go back to stage one. The Incredible Hulk was technically a reboot. It kind of kept some of the spirit of the origin story of the Ang Lee Hulk from 03. They didn't retell a bunch of that stuff.
Right.
But it was not the same universe.
This
was like, here's a different Hulk story.
Yes.
Those are reboots. What they're talking about doing with Ghostbusters is they got in Paul Feige or Feige, I don't know how you say his name, the guy who did Bridesmaids. You know, they're bringing him on board, and they're gonna add in what seems to be an all or mostly female cast. They haven't announced anybody specifically, but they've got these ideas. But they're talking about cameos from the original stars and all that stuff. And basically, it sounds like. Like, they're not restarting the Ghostbusters and telling you a new origin. They're saying, all right, 20 years later, here's some other Ghostbusters. That's not a reboot.
That is not a reboot.
It's not a direct sequel, necessarily, but it's also not a reboot.
Yeah, they're not
It's a continuation.
They're not retelling the original Ghostbusters story with gender-swap characters.
Yeah, yeah. And they're not even creating a different universe.
Yeah. No.
They're just telling a different story later down the road that doesn't have the same principal cast.
Right, right. And I've even seen a lot of these posts or these articles where Bill Murray seems to actually be kind of involved in it, or at least giving his suggestions.
Talking about it more than he was when it was going to be a direct sequel.
Like he kind of gave it his approval, saying he'd like to see an all-female Ghostbusters cast, and he was kind of throwing out names of actresses he thought would be perfect to be Ghostbusters.
Did you pick some decent ones?
He did. He really did. I thought the list was pretty good. Actually, let's see if we got that list here, because I think I have
Well, I know it was, Melissa McCarthy.
Right.
And Kristen Wiig.
Yep, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Linda Cardellini,
Linda Cardellini was the wild card in there. Yeah. That's the name I did. Like I haven't seen Linda Cardellini since Scooby-Doo 2.
Yeah.
You know?
Emma Stone would be awesome
she'd
in
be great.
Ghostbusters. But I
think
totally
all four of them would be great.
Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy totally fit the bill of kind of the comedy aspect that Ghostbusters...
Yeah.
Incorporates.
Well, and they've got
that.
I mean, Melissa McCarthy isn't from Saturday Night Live, but Kristen Wiig is. That's where she got big, and if you'll remember, that's where most of the original Ghostbusters were all that Saturday Night Live alum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of got that same feel to it, too. So, yeah, I would be more than happy to see that. What's funny is, and this is what we were talking about as we started the show, I brought this up because the news has been rumbling for a long time, but Ghostbusters 3 has been one of those things that it's 2014 to 1989, so 25 years now, there's been talk of some kind of sequel.
Yes, yes.
It's had its heavy periods and its low periods, but there's always been...
Ghostbusters 3 and Bill and Ted's 3.
Yeah, yeah, which apparently is also a go.
I know, right?
Yeah, which is awesome.
That's what I keep seeing.
Yeah, but you know, there's always been talk of it, and it looked like they were getting really close, and Bill Murray was the thing holding him back. And then it disappeared again. And then it looked like they were getting really close, and they were going to just move on with or without Bill Murray. And then, I'm a terrible person. Harold Ramis died. I just blanked on his name for a second.
Well,
I love that guy.
They did do that video game, and all the cast came back for that video game, which was really cool, and it kind of gave us something.
Yeah, that was what, 06?
That was about 06, 07, I think. think. Yeah. No, probably more like 08. Either way, it's
yeah, either
there.
Way, right around there.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the game. I thought
it was
really
great.
Fun.
And it was pretty much a direct continuation. And
it was, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have to take it as canon, but it was awesome. And it did have even Bill Murray had
yeah.
no problems coming
yeah,
back.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
they
great.
Got them, all back. Yeah, but then Harold Ramis passed away. And when he passed, that's kind of when I considered
yeah.
that there was no chance that they were ever going to do it.
Well,
you know?
when because they had already been talking about whether or not it was going to be the same four or new people coming in one way or the other. When he passed, Ivan Reitman dropped out also, who had signed on, not signed on necessarily, but had committed at least to Dan Aykroyd that he would direct it. But when Harold Ramis passed, it all kind of fell apart there. I didn't take that as that's the end of the end. I just took that as, well, now, if it's going to happen, it's definitely going to have a
different
look and feel.
Yeah.
But it shocked me how quickly after that happened, and I don't know the timetable exactly. I expected it to be on the back burner for at least a couple of years when Harold Ramis died.
Yeah.
And it was within a few months they went, okay, this is all that's happened, but we still want to do something with it. And so they already started talking about the Bridesmaids director then.
Yeah.
And that's when they started throwing out, as soon as they brought him up is when they started throwing out the idea of an all-female cast. And I'll be honest, that news that came out today was funny because I was all prepped to talk about Ghostbusters tonight and to talk about how I did not at all think that they were going to do an all-female cast, even though that's what all the news said. None of it was actually from official sources. None
right.
of it was from the studio or Dan Aykroyd
right.
or Paul Feige or however you say his name. None of that. It all felt like speculation to me. And I thought, which I don't have a problem with an all-female cast. I don't have a problem with a mixed gender cast. I don't have a problem with the new people, any of it. It's not like I was thinking, well, this is a terrible idea. I was simply thinking, I see nothing that actually points to that.
Yeah, exactly.
And as I'm gearing up to make that speech here on the show, I read a tweet from Paul Feige that's just like, yep, I'm doing Ghostbusters, and I'm going to find some great females to do it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I guess that's
well,
happening.
Yeah, guess it's official then.
Yeah. Well, I definitely do, like, after reading that article and seeing that their idea is that it's a new set of Ghostbusters in the same universe, and there's potential for cameos from the original Ghostbusters
yeah.
in the film, that made me go, okay, this sounds fun.
Yeah,
I'd
absolutely.
Like to see something like this. Now, if they did just outright say, this is a reboot with chicks this time, I would be far less interested
yeah,
in that.
Yeah, very skeptical.
Far less interested.
If they said this is an outright reboot with anyone,
yeah,
even if it was all dudes, even if they were playing the same characters,
yeah.
I'd still be more and more skeptical.
Exactly. There's no reason to reboot a movie like that. It just wouldn't,
wouldn't
work the same. But I'm totally fine with there being new Ghostbusters. Obviously, the original Ghostbusters have to age, and new people would get trained and take over, and, you know, even in that Ghostbusters video game, they trained a rookie, and there's always kind of been that thought that there are other branches, like in different cities,
like they franchised out
the Ghostbusters, so I'm totally fine with that kind of a story being told. And
I think it would be great if this was like a Midwestern setting or something
like
that.
Yeah,
like
maybe
they
moved it to Chicago or something, you know, instead of New York. But do you remember when they were talking about Ghostbusters 3 originally? Because even then they were talking about having new members of the team, and Seth Rogen's name was getting thrown around a lot.
Seth
as
Rogen,
being,
Bill Hader was in that.
Yeah,
mix a lot.
And I remember thinking that would be such a, like, that's a great casting right there, I think, Seth Rogen.
Oh, yeah.
Because he just fits right in with
that.
Yeah,
a lot of those new school guys could have been great, too, as long as they didn't turn it into a stoner comedy or anything.
Exactly.
Which I love stoner comedies, I just don't want to see that in my Ghostbusters. You know?
Right, exactly. But, yeah, I think this has potential, and I think it's neat seeing something new coming out from the franchise. I think the reason they kind of move so quick on it is because they're trying to strike while the iron's hot with this whole 30th anniversary thing that's going on right now. They wanted to make a big announcement for the 30th. So that's kind of
well, and
there.
I think, you know, and all credit to Bill Murray. I don't necessarily have a stance against his stance against the franchise. I would have loved more than anything to see at some point in the last 25 years a third one with the original cast.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think they held on waiting for him for far too long.
Yeah.
They should have done something with it by now because it can be a great franchise.
Yeah.
And now you and I are strictly of, you know, cut from the cloth where making a new version of an old thing doesn't ruin our childhood.
Exactly.
Like, we've never been on that, because there's going to be always that backlash where people go, oh, Ghostbusters was so perfect, why are you trying to ruin it? It's like, well, they're not...
And a lot of people are going to say the same thing about
this.
They're
not destroying the footage from the original.
Exactly.
They're
the
just making a different
exists.
Thing, you know?
Yeah.
So we can be excited about it. Hopefully a lot of other people can be excited about it. And, you know, I never actually, I don't know how many movies this guy has done. I know I really liked Bridesmaids. I did not see The Heat.
I didn't either.
I would like to see The Heat. I just haven't. But it sounds like they're taking it seriously and they're trying to put it in capable hands. And all of the names I've seen attached to it, there hasn't been one that's made me cringe yet.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited for just something with Ghostbusters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. More Ghostbusters. That's cool with me. I think it sounds like something that will be really fun. Sweet. So we got lots of movie stuff going on with the superhero genre, so we might as well start talking about some of
this.
That's
pretty
stuff.
Much what this show is about.
That's kind of become the running theme.
Giving us, you know, plenty of stuff to talk about. So.
That's just the thing. Yeah, there's just so much to talk about. Gosh, they just keep pumping this stuff out. Let's talk about this whole, since this is fresh and hot, just kind of happened in this last 24-hour period here. Robert Downey Jr., he was on Ellen?
I haven't seen either of the interviews, but Ellen was the first one. He taped an episode of Ellen, like, in the morning yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
And she was asking him about Iron Man 5, and at some point he was four. Like, or 4, yeah. Yeah. 5. At some point, you know, she was like, well, just, you know, yes or no, and he was like, okay, yes. And so the news all broke, oh, Robert Downey Jr.'s confirmed Iron Man 4, and that was like the story everywhere. Well, then he goes in the afternoon and tapes Letterman for that night, and Letterman airs and asks him straight up, hey, are you doing Iron Man 4? And he's like, we have no plans for Iron Man 4. He just turns around and does the exact opposite.
That's so weird.
The internet, like, grinds to a halt.
Yeah, it was so funny because, yesterday all over the place I was seeing that story pop up. Robert Downey Jr. confirms Iron Man 4, and I just remember thinking, oh, that's cool. I did not expect that.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. And then this morning, complete opposite stories are being all over the place. Yep. Robert Downey Jr. goes back on what he said. You know, not confirmed. There's no Iron Man 4.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just kind of laughed. There's
so many variables in that. You know, did he misunderstand the question on Ellen? Was he just being RDJ?
Yeah.
Did he break something he wasn't supposed to break, and the brass called him afterwards?
Immediately, and they're like, fix this.
Because there keep being rumblings that big news is coming from Marvel. Now, I don't think it's, like, going to be earth-shattering news. I think it's going to be a lot of announcements on what some of these dates they have held in place are. But that is pretty big news. And so, is one of them going to be Iron Man 4? I am neither convinced nor unconvinced.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They're talking about doing so much stuff, though, because they're talking about holding back now because of the contracts. And I've brought this up before because the specifics have confused me a lot. We talked about it with Chris Evans, because he was supposed to have a 6-picture deal, which would be 3 Captain Americas, 3 Avengers, but I was always under the impression that cameos counted, and they did that Thor one.
Yeah.
So that kind of scared me and kind of made me wonder, like, is that a hint at what's coming? Well, now they're saying that some of these franchises are so big, they want to keep these stars on for 3rd or 4th versions of their own movies if they don't have them yet. So now they're saying Avengers 3 might be, like, Robert Downey Jr. and a whole bunch of, I don't want to say third tier or B-squad, but, like, not the main guys that we're used to.
Yeah,
which doesn't make any sense if they're working towards all that Infinity Gauntlet stuff. Like, you gotta have your big dogs in for that, I would think.
For sure.
They're also talking about how Avengers 3 might be too big for one movie.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be split up. If they do that, is it going to be, like, the cosmic half and then the Earth half? Or is it going to be all one? I mean,
there's
a lot of weird speculation. And if they do it as 2 movies, is it not just Avengers 3 and 4? Is it Avengers 3A and 3B? Is there
Avengers 3, you know, part 1. Avengers
I can't imagine
2.
If they're going to make it a 2-parter, they're going to actually put it 3 years apart.
Well, I mean, they would probably just give it, because they don't actually call the next one Avengers 2, do they? They just call it Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, yeah.
So then that one would be Avengers The Infinity War Part 1, The Infinity War Part 2, or something like that.
But,
you know,
as the release schedules go, I mean, they're not going to do Part 1 in 2018 and Part 2 in 2021.
That's true.
Are they going to be, like, back-to-back movies?
They'd have to do that thing where they film it all together and release them, like,
yeah.
6 months apart.
Yeah.
Like they did with, like, Harry Potter. Yeah.
So would they do, like, a summer and a winter?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what would they do?
Summer and Christmas.
Yeah. So there's just a lot of and I don't think all of these questions are going to be answered soon.
No,
You know, I mean, we're looking at 6 years into the future for some of this stuff, so Marvel's going to hold a lot of that close to its chest.
I did see some of those rumblings where they were talking about how, as they keep introducing more and more of these characters, they want to start bringing a lot of those new characters more to the foreground and making them big deals.
Yeah.
So that by the time Avengers 3 rolls around, those guys are kind of the big deal of Avengers 3. And I definitely agree that we gotta have Captain America and Thor and Iron Man and Hulk in an Infinity Gauntlet story.
Yeah.
But I also am not opposed to the idea of shoving some of these other guys in the foreground and making them prominent characters.
For sure.
Especially looking at the comics and seeing how big the Avengers team has been over the years and how many Avengers we've had. Yeah. And we're getting to a point now where they're starting to introduce, like, the Vision and, given some of these other characters, Doctor Strange is going to be showing up. Apparently, they're going to be making him a huge powerhouse in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
But, you know, and I've read that both ways.
Yeah.
Because I was reading for a while that Doctor Strange was going to be their gateway into the cosmic realm, but he himself was going to be pretty self-contained. Like, you wouldn't see a lot of crossover.
Huh.
And then, like, a week or two later, I'm reading, oh, he's going to be a huge deal, and he's going to be in everything, you know? So I'm like, it's all speculation.
Yeah.
You have no idea which way they're going to go.
Yeah.
And they may not know yet.
Yeah, absolutely. They may not even know. This could all just be all of us geeks out here getting excited and thinking about all the possibilities.
And I tell you what, when they were recording Joaquin Phoenix is when I was reading that it was pretty much just going to be, like, Doctor Strange was just going to be Doctor Strange. And that made sense because I wouldn't trust that guy to be much of a team player. Not to say he doesn't like working with other actors or anything like that.
Yeah.
But just to say, like, he's a weird dude and he kind of does his own thing.
Right.
So I don't know that you can build a lot of crossover team-up stuff because you don't know when he's going to go all meta again.
Oh, yeah.
And just fall off the face of the earth or whatever. But it was right around the time, I'm not sure which caused what. Did he drop out of the project and then they decided, well, maybe we can make it a bigger deal? Or did they go, you know, we need to make this a bigger deal so then they pushed him out of the project.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It could be totally unrelated, too.
Absolutely.
Again, we're not actually industry insiders. We're just a couple of nerds on the internet.
Right, right.
Who have been paying attention for a lot of years. So we kind of know what's up, you know? But there's a lot of speculation going on for a ton of that stuff. And that's what I would, my initial feelings are, I don't want to see, and I hate to use the term B-Squad, but I'm just using that lovingly to say some of the newer guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a B-Squad Avengers 3 because I don't think they should push the Infinity stuff off. Like, we all thought it was going to be 2, and it wasn't. And they're pushing it off until at least 3. And that's cool. That's fine. Putting that buffer in there is okay. I don't think they should push the Infinity stuff off if they started building it in 2000 and, I mean, technically with the first Avengers, really, is
right.
when we first got the hint of that.
Yeah,
so they started building it in 2012. I don't want it to come to fruition in 2025.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I think 3 is about the limit on where to put that, and so I don't want to see, oh, here comes the Infinity Gauntlet, and there's Ant-Man and Doctor Strange to fight it.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see the big dogs in that.
It would be, what, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, The Vision, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, maybe Black Panther if he gets introduced.
Yeah,
maybe, I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe some of the TV guys from Netflix, you know.
There you go, yeah.
You never know. But, I want Cap and Hulk, and I want the big dogs in that.
Got
one.
To.
Now,
got to.
Once this giant crossover thing goes over and contracts run out or whatever else, if the next couple of Avengers movies are the lower tier guys or just the separate tier guys or whatever, awesome. I'm totally fine watching those movies. I just don't want them to be the big one.
Absolutely.
Why can't they just do a West Coast Avengers series?
There you go,
also,
yeah.
Also, bring in Wonder Man and then put Ant-Man and some of those guys on there.
They should do that.
Man, I'd watch those so
hard.
I wouldn't
be surprised if they try it because they don't care. They did Guardians of the Galaxy.
It'll make $1 trillion.
Yeah, as long as they keep making them good.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to care who the characters are.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, along those same lines, have you seen kind of the other rumblings about the speculation that they might also be kind of building towards the Civil War storyline in the movies, which leads into this whole speculation that there's some sort of behind-the-scenes deal trying to be worked out with Sony to bring Spider-Man into the franchises?
Yeah, well, there's because they're talking about 3 should be the Infinity Gauntlet, or it might be the Secret Wars. But
if it's the Secret Wars, it won't be the Secret Wars like we know them. It would be like some sort of Secret Wars Infinity Gauntlet mix up.
Yeah, which I'm like kind of hoping
they totally stay away from the Secret
Wars. Just leave the Secret Wars alone. Yeah, just do the Infinity Gauntlet or whatever.
And then this stuff starts coming because they're basically all the speculation right now is that Marvel and Sony are going to be behind closed doors with some very light, basically, idea tossing. Not that they're sitting there waiting to sign a contract.
Right.
Just that they're willing to sit down at the same table and go, well, if we did this and we did that. I'm very much in the realm of I'll believe that when I see it.
That's the only way we really can be. Yeah. Because I'm the same way. I don't want to get excited about this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's too easy for them to go, nope.
Yep. Yep.
We got those right. Sorry.
And here's my other problem with it. Because we don't know what they're planning, and we don't know what Sony's planning. We've talked about this on the show several times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They had big plans for the Amazing Spider-Man universe, and now we can't tell if they have still the exact same huge plans, totally different huge plans, or no plans at all.
I just saw something right before you got here to record, and I don't know how legitimate it is, but it was a story saying that the Venom spinoff was now up in the air, and that they don't know if they're going forward with the Venom movie. Yeah. So,
and I don't doubt that a bit.
It really seems like Sony is just like, we've completely lost track of what we're going to do with Spider-Man.
They really seem to be kind of spinning around, and that's why part of that speculation is maybe they're looking at yet a, a second reboot.
Yeah.
And they might totally do the, here's my point. Hear me out on this one.
I wasn't happy with the first reboot.
Yeah. Well, if they do another origin story, I might not even buy a ticket.
I'm out.
It was a bad idea to do with the Amazing Spider-Man trilogy or series.
Yeah.
But they did it, and I liked it, and they sold me on it, and that's fine. I'm not going to sit through another one happily.
No.
You know, we don't need that kind of thing. But here's the other thing that's going to be my point. They're talking about maybe reworking what they've already got to fit it in with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I don't want to see that either. I don't. What they've got now was not built with any of that stuff in mind, and the reason all the Marvel stuff works so well is because it flows as a cohesive unit.
That is true.
I don't want them just shoehorning Garfield and his villains into, like, I love Garfield, I like the story they're doing there, it's not the greatest thing, but I think it's perfectly acceptable.
It would be a little awkward considering how big of a role New York City plays in both worlds.
Exactly.
New York City has been a big deal in the Marvel.
Plus the complete different tones.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
There's no reason for it. And the other thing is, even if they do something like this, I don't feel like it's going to be. I really feel like the best we can ever really hope for, legitimately, would be a couple of quick cameos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to see Spider-Man headlining an Avengers movie.
Right.
Or even third or fourth tier in one. Right. He might show up for a scene or two if they can work out some financials for that. But I just think it's too complicated and there's too much on the line from a business aspect. That's my assumption. I don't want to get super excited about this. A, because I don't know if I should believe that it's even being talked about. And B, because I really fear how it would work. And I would rather the idea be tabled and never looked at again than the idea be done poorly.
Yeah, for sure.
And it sounds like a super hard thing to pull off.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. As much as I want to see Spider-Man in those movies, and I've even talked about multiple times how, you know, that whole battle in New York scene in the Avengers would have been awesome if Spider-Man came swinging in to help fight off the alien invasion happening in his hometown.
Yep.
But you're absolutely right in the fact that we don't want this shoehorned in just to be there. We need it to be right.
Yeah.
And it needs to work.
Yeah.
And everything so far in the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been perfectly strung together.
Yep.
And if we start just like grabbing random guys from other worlds, basically, and just putting them there for the sake of putting them there, that's when things can start crumbling and falling apart, and we don't want that.
And again, that's what's so much fun about Marvel is because you can watch Iron Man 2 and they can bring up the Hulk fiasco from Incredible Hulk and you can go, oh, cool, you know?
Yeah.
And you can watch Iron Man 3 or Thor 2 or Captain America 2 or any of those and they reference these big things that happened in the Avengers, and that's great, you know? But I don't want all of a sudden, you know, Avengers, well, obviously it wouldn't happen in Avengers 2, but we're just throwing out spitball ideas anyway. So Avengers 2 is rolling along, all of a sudden halfway through, they're in a big fight, and Spider-Man shows up and helps with the fight. and it's Andrew Garfield, and they do a couple of quips, and it's really funny, and it's cool, and everybody's super excited to see it. And then he goes away. Well, now we've got a bunch of Spider-Man movies not referencing these giant things happening in New York,
yeah.
and a bunch of Avengers movies not referencing all of the destruction that the Spider-Man villains do.
Yeah.
It just feels so disconnected all of a sudden.
Absolutely.
And so you're throwing away part of what makes you so special just for a one-note cameo or joke or whatever. I don't want to see it. I'd rather just not have it.
So maybe like in Avengers Age of Ultron, like they'll just start like teasing it, and then we'll just have this random one-liner where Bruce Banner's like, "Hey, remember that time that weird electric guy blew all the power out in Times Square? That was crazy, right? Am I right?"
Then they'll all laugh,
and then they all laugh, and yeah, then they just move on to the next scene, and then
yeah.
Now it's part of the same world. Yeah.
Well, and again, I should specify too the faith that I have in Marvel, which they have not. They have not even given me a remote reason to doubt them at all.
Yeah.
So my faith says they're not going to do it unless they can do it right. But my problem with that is, you know, the best intentions, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Is that
how
that goes?
Yeah, that sounds
right. You know, just because they sit down right now and everybody's in agreement and it looks like it's going to work out doesn't mean Sony won't pull the plug 2 or 3 years from now in the middle of something important.
Exactly.
So if you don't have it specifically written into the point where it can't blow up on you, and I don't know how they would do that, then I'd rather just not fool with it.
Exactly. I agree with that. Oh, man. I bet Marvel Studios' Green Goblin would look way better than the other Green Goblins we've seen.
That would be my guess as well.
Especially the most recent one. I didn't even hate him, but he sure did look weird.
Yeah, he didn't look like the Green Goblin at all.
No,
he just looked
not
like
even
that Dane DeHaan kid.
With weird
spiky hair.
And a weird hunched back. And
I liked his laugh.
And the pumpkin bombs and all that fun stuff. Like, that stuff's always exciting to see. But I don't understand why these guys can't just make the Green Goblin look like the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
They never do.
Yeah, they don't even come close.
Like, and I even fully accepted the Power Ranger villain-looking one from the old movies.
I respected the idea behind
it. Yeah, like...
My problem behind it was even going with the idea they had, it looked ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Because they were like, well, you know, it's a flight suit and it's a helmet and it's way easier for him to put on a helmet than do a weird rubber mask or makeup
and
stuff.
And it's supposed to be like a military thing.
Yeah.
But no military in their right mind is going to put that on their soldiers.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So I was just kind of like, well, I guess I kind of get it, but guys, you're doing a comic book movie.
Yeah.
And that's always been my thing, and so far
Marvel
Studios...
Well, in fairness, though, they probably didn't really have the technology to
do it
super well.
That's true. Do you remember seeing those little, footage tests that were released of the original Goblin mask, where they were testing, it moving and everything?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And that one looked like the comic book Green Goblin, and it just made you go, oh,
yeah.
What could have been?
Yeah.
That would have been
but
a
I bet working with that stuff was a nightmare, too.
Probably.
So they probably fiddled with that stuff for 2 straight weeks without sleeping, got 10 seconds of footage out of it, and went, nope, flight suit. Plan B, Sam.
When I do interviews, I'll just tell people it's absurd that he could put all that stuff on. That'll get him off the scent.
Yeah. Man, you remember what a big deal organic web shooters was for...
Yeah.
For like 10 minutes
then,
back in 2001.
Yeah, people got really mad, and then it came that way in the comics, and then it was like, whatever.
Well, then they went back to the mechanical ones in the movies, and I was super happy, but I also didn't care.
I think they went back to that in the books, too, but...
I'm so many decades behind on reading comics.
Oh, me too. I can't hardly keep up. I don't...
Yeah.
The only reason I know anything is just... stuff people talk about online from time
exactly.
to time. I can't keep up. I can't read books.
I think my problem was when I was a kid, I did nothing but that. And so now I feel like if I wanted to get back into comics at all, I'd have to do it by doing it 40 hours a week.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I just don't have it. So does this lead us into, we're talking about Marvel potentially being in bed with Sony. Does this lead us into Marvel not at all even kind of sort of being in bed with Fox?
Oh my gosh, right? So they are just like totally shunning every property that Fox has control of right now. And it's weird.
Yep.
You remember how the argument has always, like, for the last decade or more, people have always said, Wolverine, too much Wolverine, Well, everybody, you now have your wish of having no Wolverine.
We won, guys! We won!
Because now Marvel's like, X-Men, who?
Yeah.
Fantastic, what?
Yeah.
We have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, and I think, that, you know, I don't know if it was ever a big question. I know it was a question amongst me and some other people, because I was always a big Spider-Man fan, and I knew a lot of big X-Men fans, and so it was always like, well, I mean, clearly Spider-Man's the flagship. Well, I don't know, X-Men are huge. Well, they are. But I don't know if this is proving the Spider-Man point or not, because he is still, and maybe it's just because they're on a good relationship with Sony, or maybe it's because he's so important to their comic book universe that they can't do anything
well,
with him.
Well, I mean, Spider-Man has always been, like, Marvel's mascot.
Yeah.
But he is, like, almost being edged out by Iron Man right now as a company mascot.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But,
10 years ago,
yeah,
you'd have told me this is going to happen, not a headbutted you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know who everybody's going to love more than anything? Iron Man.
Yeah, what?
That's hilarious. Yeah,
yeah, but they definitely seem to still be okay with Spider-Man, and probably is because he's such a big deal.
But I never, I mean, because of how big those X books were when we were kids, like you were talking about earlier, I never thought there would be a day where Wolverine wasn't a part of that flagship,
so,
and they are just pushing all of those guys right off. I mean,
that's like,
they still make the books, but they don't.
Right.
They don't put them in anything.
Well, that is our generation right there. Like, we grew up with the X-Men everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we had that, they had that cartoon series on Fox, which was a mega hit, and it basically, like, it similar to the movie world, that cartoon on Fox of the X-Men jump-started this whole, like, animation.
Yeah.
You know, all these comic book characters got cartoons because of how popular the X-Men one was. We got the Spider-Man
Hulk,
Fantastic Four. All those guys got cartoons because of that X-Men cartoon.
Yep.
And
nobody cared much about any of them except for X-Men and Spider-Man, I don't think.
Yeah, those were
the
best
ones,
too.
Like, they were even hard, like I was actually interested, and they were hard for me to find sometimes.
Yeah, they didn't last as long, but X-Men and Spider-Man both went for a long time.
Yeah, yeah,
and I loved both of those
as a kid.
They
were great.
And I mean, think about the toys. I mean, the toy aisles were full of X-Men and Spider-Man toys. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was like, you would see just, the Toy Biz X-Men line was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was, talk about a crazy, all-encompassing line that gave you a bunch of random, weird, obscure characters.
Yep.
That was kind of like, that was a big deal for a toy line.
Yeah,
I mean, that
absolutely.
Showed you how big the X-Men were. And now all of a sudden we're at this point where it's just kind of like,
and well, it's funny too, because going back and looking at those toys, like, you look at those compared with any of the Marvel Legends or anything,
oh,
which
yeah.
are spectacular, and those old X-Men toys were straight garbage.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time,
they
that
were
was
awesome.
The coolest stuff we had ever seen.
Those were, I mean, like, the Toy Biz superhero stuff were my favorite toys in that era there.
He doesn't really move, but he looks like Cyclops, so I love him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I watched that Fox cartoon series. I'd always go to the store every week when I got my allowance, and I'd buy a new X-Men figure, because they were like $5 back then. I'd go pick out a new one. I remember Toys R Us just had that huge section that was just like all X-Men toys.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, so cool. And so it's really weird just seeing how things have changed now, because all of those Fox-controlled properties, like Marvel, just, you can tell that Marvel's really pushing the stuff that they own the rights to in their cinematic universe.
Yeah.
So they're shoving those guys up front in the comics and all these other ones, mostly the Fox ones. They're not doing it as harsh with Sony.
Yeah.
But with those Fantastic Four and X-Men are getting the brunt of this. They're just kind of like, they canceled Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
That's,
or is it like, is that a fact, or is that the big rumor?
That they did.
Okay.
They canceled Fantastic
Four. Flat out canceled.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So,
and I like Fantastic Four comics.
That's
but that's
nuts.
Awesome.
And that's the first family of Marvel. That's what they've always been called.
Yep.
You know, they used to be as big of a deal as
Spider-Man.
Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they've always kind of been presented as just as big of a deal as Spider-Man as far as, like, flagship characters.
Yes, yes.
And now they're just like, nope.
Yep.
And it makes you it makes you realize that it's another thing. I think it's another sign of how bad Worst-Tastic Four is going to be.
Yeah.
And how Marvel knows how bad Worst-Tastic Four is going to be. Because
I guarantee
Marvel
knows more than we do.
They shut that book off because they don't want, like, it's like they want to go, whoa.
Yep.
We're going to let this come out. We don't want anything to do with it. We'll wait a few years for people to forget about Worst-Tastic Four. Then we'll try this all over
again.
And
they're being proactive about it.
Yep.
They're doing it far enough ahead of time where people just go, nope, you know?
Yep.
But even with the X-Men stuff, like I said, those books are still there, but you were telling me they've got this big 75th anniversary like yeah. kind of you know, like a big omnibus of just, you know,
yeah.
art and whatever else and stories and all that stuff. And you go look for the advertisement for that, and it's got Rocket Raccoon and Star-Lord
on it.
No X-Men.
Yeah, there's a group of characters on the front of that book, and Spider-Man is the only non-Marvel Studios character on the front of that book. And Rocket Raccoon and Star-Lord are on there.
Yep.
Which, they've been around for a really long time, but you would not consider
these guys to have been around since the 70s, right. but they've never been on the cover of any books
before. Exactly. Yeah. You wouldn't consider them prominent Marvel characters to be slapped on a 75th anniversary
until
book.
Until this summer.
Until this summer when that movie came out.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Well, and you always wonder, too, and I haven't done any research to back any of this up by any means, so as always, take it as speculation. But you have to wonder what specifically is driving some of that, too. Because the cinematic universe has to be driving comic book sales harder than anything.
Yeah. So, you would think, but I don't know that for sure.
I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing. Because it is mind-boggling how many more people watch movies than read comics.
Yeah.
Not to say that comics are some kind of weird fringe thing. I'm a comic guy from back in the day. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it's the same with, you know, it's like network TV versus some of these cable networks. And you hear about, you know, one of these huge, you know, like a Mad Men or something like that, which is like a huge cable show. And it's like, oh, they're terrific. They're getting like, you know, 5-6 million viewers a week. You know, they're breaking records. And you're like, oh, well, you hear so much more about these shows than you do CIS on a big network. You know, I wonder what CIS is doing. Oh, 19 million every week.
Yeah, weird.
Every week. You know, it's mind-blowing the difference in that. And Hollywood's kind of that same way. Like, everybody sees movies. Everybody gets exposure from that stuff. So right. you really don't understand fully the difference in level. Like, if you're a big comic book guy, you feel like, well, I read these comics all the time, this is what I know, and I watch some movies, and that's great. But, like, the market is driven by Hollywood. And the TV market is driven by the big four networks. You know, that's just sort of like everyone you talk to who has a favorite has it outside of that mainstream stuff, so you feel like the other stuff is bigger, but the actual numbers are all for the big stuff. So there's way more people watching those movies than are reading those comics, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
And the kids who are going, I love this movie, I'd like to see more, are going to the comic book store to find Rocket Raccoon and to find Iron Man, you know, because these are what they know, you know? And that's why Iron Man is such a ridiculously huge comic book character now. And again, growing up in the 90s, there was not a period before 2008 you could have told me Iron Man would be top 6 in Marvel sales, and I wouldn't have believed you, ever, you know? But there it is. So you wonder, on the one hand, are they pushing all these Fox characters out because they're mad at Fox, or because Fox is making terrible movies, or because they're somehow losing something from it, or are they pushing them out simply because their stuff is what's huge for them right now?
It's got to be a combination of all of that, honestly. There's got to be just a little bit of all of that. Like, there's probably, even though it's business, there's got to be a little bit of resentment there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, obviously they made the decision all those years ago to sign that stuff over to Fox because they wanted movies of their characters made. And this is another thing that you've really got to think about, too. We've talked about on here before how that X-Men movie, that first movie from Fox, sort of started a boom period with comic book movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Blade and stuff like that all came around at the same time, but it was X-Men that really kind of sparked all this other stuff. And then Spider-Man came out, and from there it was just an explosion. If Marvel hadn't have signed over these rights to Fox and Sony back then, would this boom have even ever happened?
Probably not.
Would Marvel Studios even exist right
now? Probably not.
So that's the thing.
Yeah.
We sit here and we go, man, I wish Marvel never would have done that. But if they never would have done that, Marvel Studios may not even exist right now.
Yeah, they might not.
So it was the right move to make back then.
Well,
they're just stuck now.
Yep. As a result of it. Well, and you wonder too, and this again goes into my anti-Fox theories on some of this stuff. Apparently, Marvel is fine with sitting down with Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they have always had some involvement in those Spider-Man movies. Now, far more limited than in their own universe, clearly.
Right.
But at least some. I never really hear about Marvel involvement with any of the Fox movies. And, again, really sit back and look at the Fox lineup.
Yeah.
Take Bryan Singer away from Fox and name me a truly good Fox Marvel property.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fox doesn't make good comic book movies.
No, they really don't.
Fox stumbled into one guy who does it really well and respects what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know? Now, I liked the second Wolverine, so I'm not saying, like, it can't happen. And to be 100% honest, I liked the first two Fantastic Fours.
I was going to say, I enjoyed the Fantastic Fours, and I also enjoyed Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
But you're still right.
Yeah.
You look at those movies compared to, I mean, even what Sony did with Spider-Man, and it's just, there's a difference there. Yeah. There's an absolute difference.
Fox is running these properties like big studios run properties.
Yeah.
And that is not how you get success out of these comics.
Oh, these are like, oh, I get it. Fox is like the Warner Brothers of the Marvel Universe.
Essentially, yeah. but seriously, yeah. Like you hear about all this stuff. There's an old Hollywood mentality. This doesn't really fit into the superhero category by any means, but that Gone Girl movie that just came out, that new Ben Affleck flick that David Fincher directed, was based off of a book that came out 2 years ago, I think, that was a huge book. The author's name was Gillian Flynn. They actually let her come in and write the screenplay also. I'm sure that's happened a time or two before, but I don't remember ever hearing about them reaching out to a novel author and saying, hey, your piece of fiction is wonderful. We would like to see if you can put it onto the screen for us. But man, what a terrific way to really keep the source material.
Yeah.
Because the problem is Hollywood has always had this mentality where they go, okay, we think this thing is cool, but we have to, you know, you can't just take it off the page and put it on the screen because it doesn't translate that well. So you have to have someone from Hollywood work up a treatment that makes sense on the screen, and sometimes that would happen and you'd get pretty close things, and sometimes you'd get totally different things that maybe did or didn't work.
Right.
But the mentality was always, well, you can't just do what was on paper and put it on the screen. It just doesn't work that way. And for decades,
I know,
that was how it
was.
That's
so irritating.
And it's finally coming to be proven that yes, you can. And that's exactly what Marvel has been so great at, and they're really the ones causing the boom from that level. They're the ones saying, hey, guys, we've got storyboards already. Let's just take our stories, we'll make some tweaks to make them flow, and we'll just put a comic book on screen, and audiences are going nuts over it. And now, clearly, other parts of Hollywood are figuring that out.
Right,
but Fox, and Warner Brothers, Fox, as we're focusing on right now, is still running everything like old Hollywood.
Yeah.
They're all running it going, okay, cool, we have this franchise that's big, it's got a built-in audience, but we've got to Hollywoodize it. We've got to make a movie script that makes sense. We can't just make a comic book movie, we've got to have this element and this person involved and whatever else, and they're just getting, because they don't care.
Let's take the idea of this.
Yeah.
But
and make a movie out of
it. Don't actually read any of the source material, because we're going to do something completely different than that. We just want the name and the characters. We'll figure out the rest from here, because we're going to make a movie.
Yep. And they've got that, and they're probably sitting there going, well, nobody reads comic books, so we've got this thing, and we'll just make something out of it.
Smoking their cigars.
And, doing their Vince McMahon laugh.
Yeah. We're geniuses.
You know, and it's just, and it makes me really wonder, too, I'm sure Marvel's going, hey, guys, we really like our properties. Can we help out? And Fox is probably telling them, well, comic book guys, you go do your thing and we'll do our thing.
Yeah.
And I really get the feeling that, you know, that's sort of the mentality that's going into this. Marvel's just going, all right, we've proven we're better at all this stuff than you, so you know what?
Yeah.
Nope, no more support.
Yeah.
We'll do it our darn selves. And when Bryan Singer stops making your movies and all of your franchises crash and burn, we'll just buy them back. And I tell you what, I was talking to you right before we started taping about this. Like, I hate the idea of the Fantastic Four comic book being canceled, because I respect that property. I think it's weird having the X-Men pushed so far to the side in the comic book world. But I tell you what, if you got to do that for a decade, do it. just if that's what it takes,
if that's yeah,
to hold them down low enough and to make it hard enough on them and to watch them stumble over themselves left and right until either A, they somehow get it right, or B, they get tired of trying. If that's what you got to do, do it.
I guess so.
If I don't, if I don't see a Marvel run X-Men movie for 20 years, but eventually I see one, everything you've done to get there is worth it.
Man, it could be.
Yeah.
Just, man, thinking about how Marvel could handle both Fantastic Four and X-Men is just so exciting and something I do want to see sometime in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Preferably while this stuff's all really hot right now and they're doing it so good. But man, yeah, like, thinking about, like, Worst-tastic Four.
I laugh every time.
That's the name of that movie. I'm never calling it
I was telling else. We've got a Fantastic Four glass.
Yeah.
From the production that Ryan brought back.
Okay, you know, yeah.
And I was telling my two-year-old daughter, she was drinking a glass of water every essay, and she said it was her four cup.
Her four cup. Yeah.
I was like, that's right, honey, and you enjoy that for about 8-9 more months until that movie comes out and we have to take it in the backyard and smash it so no one knows that we have an association with it. You know? She's like, we're going to smash it? Like, we sure are, honey.
Yep. Teach her how to say Worst-tastic Four. Take that, Worst-tastic Four. Man, no, but what you were saying a minute ago about Marvel, you know, like not having involvement with a lot of the Fox properties, Worst-tastic Four makes me think that that's accurate because I feel like that's something that Marvel would go, whoa, hold on now.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing with this?
Yeah.
This is not our property.
Like Kevin Feige's calling them every day going, hey, these notes don't make any sense.
Yeah. Just everything we've heard about it and like seen, and it's just like,
yeah.
Well, I don't get it. I don't understand what they're doing.
We've heard absurdly little, and it's because it sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And every time, the only people who ever say anything about it are the actors who don't sound excited and never say anything that make you feel better.
Yeah,
because they just had Michael B. Jordan just came out again, and he's the only one who actually, to his credit, he at least sounds sort of excited for the movie.
Yeah.
He's the only one that I've heard sound excited for. Everybody else is just like, I don't know, I guess we did a thing, whatever. Yeah. But even him being excited about it and trying to sell it, it's making it sound worse and worse.
He
was talking about the costumes.
I was going to say, didn't some pictures just come out recently of that kind of stuff?
I haven't seen any pictures. I did see some, like, pictures from the comics that were involved in one of the articles I read about him talking about it or something, but I think that was just sort of, they went and found a picture that looks similar, but he was saying how they're not really like the spandex suits. They're not doing that kind of movie. That's not what they're going for.
Not doing that kind of movie.
Yeah, these are more like containment suits. Like, okay. Well, that sounds stupid. What kind of movie are you doing?
Yeah, that's not the kind of movie we're doing. Really? Because it's called Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's the kind of movie you're trying to do.
Yeah, pretty sure it's the movie you're supposed to be doing.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Those pictures of Dr. Doom leaked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a while back,
yeah.
Yeah. They don't look good.
No, they don't. It's like, okay, he's kind of got that hood thing, I guess, but what is this?
Yeah, but he looks just like, I mean, he looks like some sort of weird rock man.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even wearing a suit with a cape. It's just a hood.
Yeah.
That falls down back behind his back, and I can't, is that a mask? Is that his face?
I have no idea. Yeah. Is he missing an arm? He's only got his right arm.
Yeah, it looks like he's...
His left arm is gone. I don't know what the heck is going on here. This Worst-tastic Four coming to theater soon.
I stake my reputation. There is no way this movie's even remotely good.
There's
no way.
It can't be. Yeah. I don't even...
Unless they cancel it and go refilm it. And again, the scariest part about this, too, the guy they got doing this is going to be doing one of the Star Wars spinoffs.
Oh, I know. No.
You've made one halfway decent indie film and are in the process of butchering your first big budget film, and Disney comes in and gives you a Star Wars movie?
Well,
I don't get it.
Hopefully Disney will be like, look, they own that property. There's no way they're going to let him Worst-tastic Four a Star Wars movie, right?
I hope not.
Oh my god.
I hope not. But again, I don't get I don't get it.
Hey, so Star Wars Rebels started. I don't know. I know you don't really keep up with the cartoons, but...
That's the Freddie Prinze Jr. one, right?
It's, is it?
I think he's in that.
Might be. I don't know. You're probably right. I'm totally oblivious to the voice cast for it, which is... I haven't really paid much attention. I just knew it was a new Star Wars cartoon starting, and they started it with, like, a movie, and then I think in November the actual series starts off. So, but I watched it, and it's... Yeah, I'm on. I'm on board.
And that
I'm,
takes place between 3 and 4, right?
Yes. So okay. this now, we're past the prequel stuff. And it was kind of a neat little story that they set up. The Empire's in full swing. So, like, they straight up have, like, regular-looking stormtroopers in this from That's the original good. Trilogy. All of the officers look like Imperial officers from the original trilogy. The Jedi are extinct.
Quote-unquote.
Yep, they're gone. And there's really no mention of Jedi or anything throughout most of the episode. So it's kind of cool because now we're in this place where it's an Empire-ruled galaxy. And so you're kind of seeing, like, the way people are being treated by the Empire and how it's affecting these all these planets and the system and everything. And that's kind of neat because that's something we've never really seen explored before in any official... medium. No cartoons or anything have really dealt with that part before.
Yeah.
You know, everything has been so focused on the prequels for the last decade or however now. It's really interesting that we're now getting stuff that's starting to focus more towards the original trilogy stuff.
Which is super cool.
Yeah. So you get... The animation's pretty good. It's very similar to what we saw with Clone Wars, which is good because it feels like it kind of flows still with what we're used to watching.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I liked that. And you get introduced to a new character. He's like kind of a younger kid, and he's kind of like a... He seems like he's kind of like one of those little on-his-own kind of guys, and he's a bit of a thief and stuff like that. But you kind of get the feeling that he's got some sort of ability... And he doesn't even quite understand it or know what's going
Jedi
on.
Like Jedi ability?
Or... Yeah. Okay. So he runs into this kind of ragtag crew who has got, like, just a mixture of alien races, which is pretty cool. And then basically, like, they go on these adventures. Like, he joins them, and there's kind of this whole adventure thing. And then you kind of find out that they are rebelling against the Empire. So we're starting to see early seeds of the rebellion getting built. And then, like, you get this really cool kind of, well... The kid discovers, like, a lightsaber in the ship with this crew. And you get to this really cool little showdown part where the Empire, who's been chasing them because they stole something from them, they confront them and they've got all their blasters out, and then all of a sudden the one guy pops up and he ignites the lightsaber. And like, the stormtroopers all kind of stop and they look, and the little Imperial officer that's with them just kind of stops for a minute, and then he just says... Kill the Jedi. It was really cool. Kind of one of those things nice. Where they were like, oh my, there's a freaking Jedi.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a Jedi in a long time, but they knew exactly what he was as soon as he lit up the lightsaber. So that was like a really cool moment in the show, you know? And then there's really, they kind of end it with like, he's got this little holocron cube and the little holographic emblem of Obi-Wan Kenobi is on it.
Oh, cool.
And it's a message that he had sent out to all the Jedi saying, the temple is gone. The Empire have won. Don't go to the temple. Go into hiding. You know, do whatever you need to do. It was really cool. And it was neat because it was the same Obi-Wan voice that we had from Clone Wars.
Oh,
so
cool.
It kind of bridged things a little bit. And then
Clone Wars was between 2 and 3.
Yes, was between 2 and 3.
And then 3, and now this is between
Now this
three
is
and
happening,
four.
Yes. And you get the feeling that this is like quite a bit after 3.
Yeah.
But still probably a good...
Because what's the gap between 3 and 4? Like 30 years?
Like 30 years, because Luke Skywalker goes from a baby to a full adult. So there's like a 30-year gap. So, then you find out at the end that the kid is strong with the Force. And so he wants to take him on basically as
like
a Padawan.
Yeah.
So it looks like this is going to be a pretty interesting series. I'm kind of excited just to see where it goes. It's fun to get something new with Star Wars like this because... Like, I really liked the Clone Wars cartoon, and I was really sad that the plug got pulled on it like it did without giving us a real ending. But it's fun to move away from the prequel stuff now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited that the direction's changing.
That was kind of the thing. When they did that, it was... and I didn't even watch it, but it was kind of one of those, like, I'm an industry guy, so
yeah.
Even if I'm not fully actively participating in everything, kind of watching what's going on, and it was disappointing when they did that. Again, not because I can't see the show, but just because I'm like, all right, I'm trying to understand Disney's motivation here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they had, like, they were so close, it felt like, to kind of being at a good wrap-up point anyway. It really did. And they just sort of just stopped, you know.
It felt like one more season of Clone Wars would have tied us directly into Episode 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like, oh, you know, but, like, you're like, no, like, I want to see how this is going to end and go into the Episode 3 so I can figure out how this all works together.
Yep.
And then they're just like, oh, sorry, we're done because we own the property now.
And it was a bummer. And it was scary when they do stuff like that because, you know, when they come in and their first orders of business are kind of wiping the boards clear of some of this stuff. It scares you. It's like, what are they doing? But now we look at when they start coming out and releasing stuff, and what are they doing? Just like you said, they're flashing forward 30 years, and they're kind of making the original trilogy a thing again.
Yeah.
They're shifting the focus back to what we used to know.
Yeah.
Because everything has been prequels for so long. And, you know, what's their movie plans? They're going to move forward in time and do stuff after the original trilogy, finally. So what's the best thing they can probably do? Get your mind off of 1, 2, and 3, which everyone proclaims they hate anyway.
Yeah.
It's a little silly.
Yeah.
But everybody always gripes about it, and then that's all we've had for so long.
Exactly.
So if Disney's goal is to come in and go, okay, 1, 2, and 3 happened, but we're really more concerned with A, the heritage, and B, moving forward, then the smartest thing they could have done was to come in and go, this is great, guys, but sorry, this isn't what we do anymore.
Right.
And start working on...
We're changing our direction.
The better
We're
stuff.
Going this way now.
And now that we see that seems to be what they're doing, all of a sudden it's like, well, that was a bummer, but this is cool.
But this is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just... It's a new group of characters that we have to get used to, and that's one thing that's really different about this show, because even with Clone Wars... They introduced you to Ahsoka, who was Anakin's new Padawan. She was a brand new character. But you still were following Anakin and Obi-Wan and prominent characters that you knew from the movies.
Yeah.
This new cartoon series is a whole new cast of characters we have never seen before. So that's a little weird, only because it's just a little jarring at first. Because you're like, yeah, exactly, it is cool. But we have to... get to know these guys.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to know this crew. Like, I'm sitting here giving this really scatterbrained review because I can't even remember all their names right now because I've only seen that one episode.
Yeah.
So it's going to take some time to, like, have them grow on you, and you got to start feeling for the characters and stuff.
Again, though, if you're going to throw a cartoon out there as part of your initiative, your two-part initiative of A, let's remind people of the old stuff, and B, let's introduce them to some new stuff, because they're doing expanded universe stuff. We're going to get 7, 8, 9, and we're going to get our, you know, our Han Solo movies and our Boba Fett movies and the stuff that we've kind of been waiting for so long.
Right.
We're also, I mean, within the next 5 years, we're going to have at least 2 or 3 Star Wars movies for people we've probably never heard of.
Yeah, which is nuts, so, but awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Gosh, I mean, the Star Wars...
So start getting into the gear now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like they're kind of saying, jump and start in it, getting you in there right now. Yeah, but it is neat to think about the potential with a show like this, because this is all leading up to A New Hope, and that means Darth Vader is Darth Vader right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to save it, but it's very possible we're going to see Darth Vader at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
Well, and it sounds like a show where you could easily have a Han Solo episode.
Absolutely. I mean, it depends on, I don't know if they've said anywhere exactly what time frame this falls in and how close it is to A New Hope. So we can assume that at where they're at right now, Luke is probably around somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's obviously got to be because he was born in Episode 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but he'll be on Tatooine running that moisture farm.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
But how long has Solo been out there gallivanting about the universe?
Yeah, exactly. And we had a bunch of Wookiees show up in this first episode because the Empire was... kidnapping Wookiees and forcing them to be slaves. And I kept waiting for, like, I was like, is one of these going to be Chewbacca?
Yeah.
Are we going to see a Chewie reference? And they didn't do that, but it's there. I mean, the potential is there.
Yeah.
You know, we know something. All of these characters are there now.
Yep.
They're out there somewhere.
Yep.
They're just waiting to be brought together for the trilogy that we know.
Yeah.
But it was really fun because, like, even in, like, the little Obi-Wan holocron message, he one of the lines he says in there after telling them, you know, not to go back to the temple and to go into hiding. He says something in there about waiting for a new hope will rise.
Oh, nice.
It was pretty cool. Nice. Like that line, he says that line and you kind of get those chills. Like, yeah. That's so cool.
I just got them with you telling me about that.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty neat. So
that's awesome.
It's pretty exciting. Wow, we totally segued into Star Wars right out of Marvel. That was
well,
weird.
Well, it's all Disney now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, they go together. Disney. They're like peanut butter and jelly and now,
dude. It's starting to get really exciting. Like,
wait till you see Iron Man cross paths with Han Solo.
That's going to be weird. You know, you're going to be able to do that in that video game here soon, Disney Infinity. You saw that they...
Oh,
have you seen
that
game with the little figures?
Yeah, like, I don't understand how it works fully, but I...
Yeah, I haven't played it. It's one of those games that I know I'm going to end up buying at some point, because I already really like the figure aspect, because I'm already a toy collector, and I want to buy all those figures.
Yeah.
So the first year it was like, you know, they had all those Disney characters, and now they've introduced Marvel. So now there's a bunch of Marvel characters that you could put in the game and mingle around with these Disney characters. And next year they're introducing Star Wars. So it'll be a freaking video game with Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars.
That's what,
all in the same
game.
Your
head's going to explode.
I know, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's part of the reason I don't understand that game is because I'm actively trying to stay away from understanding that game, because it's one of those games where you go, you buy the game for God knows how much.
Yeah.
And then now you got to buy every
$8
figure
friggin' toys
out there
to
play it right. And I don't know if our listening audience is fully in tune with how friggin' poor I am. No, that's a false. I mean, I got two TVs and two cars and I own a house and my wife stays home and takes care of my kids. I'm far from poor.
Right.
But brother, I'm broke. I ain't buying a ton of $8 figures to play a game.
You can't go out and buy a
bunch
of figures.
So
yeah,
exactly. And I'm very much an all or nothing guy. So if I get into Disney Infinity and find out what it's like, I'm going to want every one of them.
I know.
So I'm safer just not understanding the game.
That's why I stayed away from it too. Because I got into Skylanders for a while, which I don't know if you know what that is, but it's very similar.
Yeah.
It's kind of what started this whole figure game thing. And I got into that for a while just because I thought the idea of buying characters and having them put into the game and then you can play with the character that you just bought an action figure of, I thought that was a neat concept for a game, and that's right up my alley.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there just buying all these Skylanders toys, and so when they announced Disney Infinity, I was like, oh crap. And so I've been staying away from it on purpose.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know it's only a matter of time where I'm going to go, okay, and I'm going to bring it home, and then I'm going to go, oh, God, and I'm buying all them dang toys.
The cycle begins anew.
Exactly. Gosh, I don't have enough toys already here. All right. I think we've got a lot of the big stuff covered. DC, talk about DC for a little bit. They just...
I thought we were going to do it.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to get a whole episode without complaining too much.
Well,
we brought them up, though. We've broken the seal.
The only
say
thing...
Say what you're going to
say. You know,
say.
And it's not even going to be complaints, because this is actually their TV division.
Oh.
Arrow obviously started back up, but also the big news is that the Flash TV series just started.
I got to get on
that show. And
got to.
The only reason I really wanted to bring it up is because everybody's talking about the Flash right now. And Jonathan and I probably aren't going to be talking about The Flash right now because we haven't even watched Arrow yet.
Yeah, we need to.
And I don't really want to get into discussing all that stuff until I watch it. And it's one of those things I do. I really want to watch Arrow.
Yeah.
And I need to watch through Arrow before I start Flash, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Time is so tough to sit down and watch a TV series.
I love me the Netflix, and this is some of the stuff where... I'm not going to have to worry about my wife wanting to catch up on these with me. So I should be able to do it myself.
Yeah.
Much quicker than I can with some shows. So I really think I just started Blacklist a week or two ago, and I'm about halfway through it. I'm hoping by the time I'm done with that, season 9 of Supernatural is on there, because I got to get me my Supernatural fix.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a whole season behind for the first time in 9 years.
Yeah.
When that's done, I think I can focus on Arrow. So I'm hoping by somewhere around the Christmas area, I can catch up on those and then figure out a way to catch up on Flash in the new season. But
I really...
That's kind of crossing my fingers. Let's see if that works.
Well, I'm trying to watch Gotham right now because I figured this one's starting and I'll just jump on right in the first episode. And just that way I can get into it. But I've only watched the first episode. And now there's been two more, so I got to get going on that. Same with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I watched the season premiere, but I haven't watched any of the episodes since.
Which was awesome. I just watched it last night.
It was pretty good, right? That was a good premiere.
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit.
How cool was Absorbing Man?
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
So he really was way better than Nick Nolte.
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. But yeah, gosh, there's just so much TV to watch. And like Walking Dead's getting ready to start back up, and I haven't even finished last season yet.
Well, and you've got all this stuff going on with The Basement. Oh, you haven't finished last season?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
You should probably finish last
season. We have two episodes left, I think.
You should probably watch those.
We're going to, because the new one starts this weekend, and I don't want anybody, like, ruining anything for me.
I can't believe... Well, not to say that there was some sort of, like, huge can't-miss thing necessarily at the end of the last season. Not to say that there was or wasn't. But any time that season ends, people are talking about it.
Right.
So I can't believe...
I've been trying to keep my head down and not listen.
Well done.
The stuff that I'm watching on there right now is right about the point in the comics that I kind of stopped reading. So, like, I kind of know where things are going, but I'm about to get real, like, I don't know anything now.
Yeah.
You know, so... Because I've been... I was reading the books kind of alongside the TV show because I wanted to follow the storylines and see how they differed.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of cool because there's a lot of things that are the same, but then there's a lot of little differences in the middle.
Yeah.
And it was always really exciting when something big would happen in the show and I could go, oh, I know what this is. I know what this is, you know? And I'm getting ready to, I'm at a point now where I'm not going to be able to do that. And I'm kind of like, oh, I need to get back to reading these books. But
that's another one where I'm, you know, pretty positive the guy who wrote those comics is big in that show. And that's another example of what we were talking about earlier.
Oh, that's...
when you, Kirkman?
Kirkman, yeah, Robert Kirkman.
When you let somebody who created something awesome take it to a new medium himself.
Yeah.
Or at least be heavily involved in it, and look what happens.
Yeah.
You know, you get hugely successful stuff because people know their own work.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I really, really love
that
show.
You got all
this
stuff going on with your basement and everything.
I'm so behind in the toy review
all your
stuff.
Reviews and...
It's been insane. Yeah. My head is just... spinning right now because I come down here and I'm like, I just don't even know what to do.
Yeah, you got no catch up spot.
I don't know what to do. It's been nuts. I'm hoping a break comes my way here soon, but I really need to focus on getting this basement fixed, but it's so hard to do that because it takes like a day. I need a day to come down here and just work on this floor.
Yeah.
And I don't have a day to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't.
I've been remodeling my basement since my kid was born, and he's almost 8 months now.
And yeah.
And by I've been remodeling, I mean all the tools and supplies have been down there, and I go, I could work on it for 45 minutes, but that's not going to get me anywhere. I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll do it tomorrow for 8 months.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's crazy. There's just no time for anything. Yeah, and one of the other things I gotta get you on Turtles at some point. I don't know how we're gonna do it because we don't have time, but I really want you to watch the new Turtles
stuff. I just
need
to figure out how to watch them, if nothing else.
They just... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I know.
I gotta find all the old episodes.
But they just did the season 3 premiere, which is really weird because cartoons do this all the time. Because the season 2 finale was last week, and then this week was the season 3 premiere.
Oh, wow.
But because they always break it up into
weird chunks.
But it was really neat. And I'll tell you some things that are kind of spoilery just because I want to talk about how fun and...
Yeah, you're not going to bother.
This episode, like the beginning of this episode specifically, was such a cool, like nerdy moment for all of us old school fans who enjoyed the original movie. Because what happened at the end of season two is the Krang did their big invasion. The Krang invaded New York and they just started like... wreaking havoc completely. Like, they perfected the mutagen to where their whole goal is to turn New York and then Earth and then the world into...
Maybe even the whole town.
Yeah, into basically a new Dimension X for them to inhabit. So, in perfecting the mutagen, what it's doing is, like, when they spray everything with the mutagen, it starts transforming it into their environment. So they did this full-scale invasion on New York, and there's Krang everywhere, and they're blasting all the New York citizens and turning them into these weird, like, mutant Dimension X zombie creatures and, like, things are growing all over the city, so, like, they are, like, winning. And it got to a point where, like, the Turtles and Casey and April, like, they had to leave. They abandoned the city. And, like, Splinter, they don't know where Splinter is. They don't know if he's alive or dead. Right. And it was really intense. It was a really crazy episode. So, flash forward to this new, the premiere, it was amazing. They, to get away from New York, they went out to April's family's farmhouse.
Awesome.
And in the whole Big Krang invasion, Leonardo had gotten the crap beat out of him by Splinter, or Shredder, and was unconscious. Flip-flop from the movie where it was Raphael. Yeah. The entire opening scene was an opening montage with April writing in her diary, doing almost the exact same dialogue from the movie.
That's awesome.
Telling about what all the turtles are doing. Leonardo was in the bathtub while Raphael was sitting there waiting with him. Flip-flop from the movie. They had scenes with Casey Jones working on the beat-up truck that was there. They had Donnie and Mikey doing, like, Mikey was tending to the chickens outside. April was drawing sketches of Leonardo in the bathtub and her book. The entire opening scene was straight out of the first movie.
That's awesome.
It was amazing.
That's awesome.
It was so epic. I mean, it was so, so cool.
That's awesome. God, I love that nerds run the world.
I know, right? Oh, my God. It was just an amazing moment. Like, I was geeking out so hard while watching that, and I just kept, like, Christina loves that show, but she didn't quite get why I was so excited. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, this is straight out of that movie. Like, even the dialogue is, like, perfect. This is amazing. But the weird thing with this is the first episode where Seth Green took over as Leonardo's voice.
Oh.
And I've been a little nervous about this, because Biggs was doing the voice of Leo before, and then he left the show.
Biggs?
Yeah, Jason Biggs was Leonardo. And he left the show. I don't know exactly what's going on. I think he got fired from the show. But I don't know that for sure. But then the last, like, couple episodes of the season,
I don't get the impression that he's a great guy.
Yeah, I think he was posting a lot of really terrible things on Twitter. And Nickelodeon was like, hey, you can't be doing that. You're Leonardo.
Yeah.
And I think he basically told them he's going to do it anyway, and so I think they gave him the boot. I think that's the gist of what I get from kind of the stuff I read, but they're not outright saying they fired
him. I hadn't heard that, but that doesn't sound, like, that doesn't surprise me at
all. Plus, he's really busy with
Orange is the New Black,
and I guess he wasn't even recording with the rest of the crew. Like, he was doing all his stuff from New York while the rest of them were in California, so it was just, like, a really weird, like, he was kind of, I don't know.
There are other names in that show?
Sean Astin as Raphael.
Oh, neat.
And then, like, Rob Paulsen, who's a big voice actor, he was the voice of Raphael in the old cartoon. Uh-huh. He's Donatello in the new cartoon. So that's one of the weird things when you first start watching the show. Why does Donnie sound like Raph?
Yeah.
But you get used to it.
You wonder why they didn't just give him the old, bring him in, why not just do the same one?
But, so I've been a little worried because Biggs left, actually, in the middle of the last season, and then they brought in, like, just a sound-alike, somebody who kind of did Biggs' Leonardo voice, and it was totally passable. It was fine, wasn't a big deal. You noticed it was different when it first changed, but then you didn't think about it anymore.
Gone by the end of the episode.
But then they brought in Seth Green for the new season, because they wanted to bring in a new name to be Leonardo, and I was always kind of like, ah, that's a huge voice difference, and I'm a little concerned about this. So the scene happens where he wakes up from being unconscious in the bathtub and he starts talking, and it's straight up just Seth Green's voice coming out of Leonardo's mouth, and it was really jarring. You're just like, oh, he's not even, like, trying to sound different. He's just Seth Green. But they do even kind of make a joke, because Mikey's like, why does he sound so different? And Donnie's like, oh, all the damage he took, like, damaged his vocal cords. So, like, they made that joke, but I don't know. It's going to take some getting used to having Seth Green as Leonardo.
Always does.
But
though I will say also, I was real concerned with Knoxville.
Oh, yeah.
Being
Leo in the movie?
Yeah.
You couldn't even tell that was Knoxville.
And it was totally fine.
So I'm maybe Seth just kind of needs to get into it a little bit more, and maybe it'll
You're also looking for it. So, I mean,
that's
maybe,
true.
You know, if you're just...
That's true.
Once it does settle in two or three episodes in and you're not thinking about it so much anymore, it probably sound fine.
Yeah, but it was still a really fun episode, and I'm excited to see where it goes now. But that just that whole opening of the show is just worth it. I mean, that was just the best.
Oh, that's awesome.
I geeked out so
hard. Yeah, I got to see that.
All right, this is an interesting topic, and probably our last big one for this episode, but I really wanted to bring this up, because this has been talked about a lot in this last week. A lot of people out there have probably seen this, you might even be kind of complaining about it or upset about it, but there was a article that went out with the headline, "This is the first weekend in America with no Saturday morning cartoons." This was not this last weekend. Mm-hmm. It was a Gizmodo article. The reason that this article came about is because the CW apparently was still doing a Saturday morning cartoon lineup, which straight up I didn't even know existed.
Yep, same
and
here.
And I'm willing to bet that most of our audience didn't know unless they were watching the cartoons that were on it.
Can't imagine what was even on there.
I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. But they canceled their Saturday morning lineup. And they were the last remaining network that had a Saturday morning cartoon lineup of some sort. So that meant that this was the first weekend in, you know, the last 50 years or whatever that didn't have cartoons on a major network on Saturday morning. So I saw a lot of people being upset, talking about, oh, this is terrible. Oh, my childhood's dead. Yeah,
more typical stuff.
Yeah,
more
you
than
know?
Killed my childhood.
Yeah, and people are getting really, really upset about it. Now, I first of all, I didn't get it. I didn't understand why that was that big of a deal. Because it, as far as I was concerned, Saturday morning cartoons in that format already were dead.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't even know that the CW had a lineup of their own. And
yeah,
it actually
one network had them and they were a real small network.
Yeah. So I guess the shows that they had were Cubix, Sonic X, Dragon Ball Z, Digimon Fusion, and Yu-Gi-Oh! So that was their Saturday morning cartoon lineup. I didn't know that that was out there. I felt like Saturday morning cartoons had stopped existing when the big networks, ABC, NBC, Fox, all those guys, stopped airing their lineups.
Yeah.
And that was in the 90s.
Yeah.
This article even goes on to say that NBC ditched their lineup in 1992.
Oof.
The early 90s.
Yeah.
They ditched their lineup. So this was absolutely a thing of the 80s that
and
most people
I think I actually remember that on my trailing days of watching Saturday morning cartoons. I remember thinking NBC's always lame. They've got sports on.
Yeah.
Or stupid sports, stuff or whatever.
And you also got to remember the big transition to shows like Saved by the Bell and all the other live action stuff. Yep. They were like, oh, cartoons are the thing of the past. Let's move on to all these, you know, pre-teen live action shows. That's what kids want to see. So, in my opinion, this was already a done deal. I didn't see why this was a big deal whatsoever. But everybody else seemed to be really upset about it, and I didn't really get it. And the other big reason why I don't feel like this is a big deal is because we live in an age now where streaming is the way things are.
Yeah.
That's the future of television. We live in a world with Netflix and Hulu and Redbox and YouTube and any one of those kinds of things. We can watch whatever we want to whenever we want to, which means we can make our own Saturday morning lineup.
Saturday morning cartoons have not died. They have evolved, man.
They have evolved.
You know, and any of that stuff. And I was telling you, and I gave you the exact example when we talked about that earlier, you know. Imagine 9-year-old you waking up at 7 o'clock Saturday morning because some of the shows you liked early,
right?
You know, and you didn't have the internet to check. You didn't, you know, TV Guide was hit or miss on whether it was right about reruns,
right?
So you had to get up and see, and you get up and nope, yep, Captain and the Game Master's a rerun, just like
like
the TV Guide says. But now I'm awake anyway, and oh, the next show, Camp Candy and Captain N. You know, but you get up and there are reruns and you're looking around and you're, you know, you don't want to go back to sleep because you got other shows later and whatever else. And it's just kind of runs. Now imagine you're 9 years old and you wake up and you go, well, this one show I wanted to watch is a rerun. So I will go and find, you know, I'll go over to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which has two seasons I haven't watched yet. And I'll watch a couple of those.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'll come back and check out a little bit of Garfield. And I'll watch whichever episodes I feel like, whether I've seen them before or not. Or whatever. And, oh, by the way, it's 9:17 because I didn't have to wake up at 7 in the morning just to find out my stuff wasn't on. You know, like, nine-year-old, you would slap the taste out of your mouth, out of 35-year-old you's mouth, for complaining about this.
Really?
This
for
is
sure.
a utopia.
This is the kind of thing I would have loved as a kid, because just like you... You talk about getting up early for cartoons. That was always a problem for me. I always remember going, I need to get up so I can watch that. And I never could. Mm-hmm. And I would miss the things that I really wanted to watch. And I'd always be really upset about that. It was a cool era. Like, Saturday morning cartoons were awesome. I remember how neat it was, like, watching the networks promote their new cartoons for the season. You know, like, you'd always get those preview nights. And they'd promote the new stuff coming out. And I'll always remember all the cool, you know, there was a lot of neat commercials that aired during that because they were directed towards us. And you always had those cool little breaks. I think we'll never forget things like, after these messages, we'll be right back. It was really fun to live through all that. But we have evolved past that now.
Yeah, you know, it was, some things cool are different, that, some things are gone, but the options are so much,
it's
you know.
Cool that we have that as a memory, but what we have now isn't, like, a bad thing for today's kids.
Yeah.
Because today's kids will have their nostalgia connected to the stuff that we've got right now.
Yep.
Things and 30 years from now, things will be different than this, and they'll be remembering the stuff that they were doing during this time.
And point to set here, weeks ago, before I had any inclination that A, there were Saturday morning cartoons out there anymore anyway, or B, anyone would be upset they were gone, weeks ago I decided, again, my little two-year-old loves Scooby-Doo. We've got the two seasons of Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated on Netflix, which she was watching a little too, like, she had already seen them all, but it was kind of like all she wanted to do for a while. So I said, well, okay, we're not going to do this every day now, but here's what we're going to do. Saturday mornings, we're going to wake up. Daddy will wake up with you. We'll go watch some Scooby-Doo. You can pick the episodes. We'll eat Pop-Tarts for breakfast. It'll be a fun time. So my kids got Scooby-Doo for Saturday morning cartoons every Saturday because we just decided that's what it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And you don't have to, you know, there's no reason to be mad about any of that stuff. And I tell you what, I wake up every Saturday at 7:30 in the morning still, and I go and watch Season 2, Episode 2 of Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, because for whatever weird two-year-old logic flows through her little mind, she always wants to see the one with the house. There's like a ghost house that gets up and runs around, and she always wants to at least start with the house episode.
I can't wait till I get to that
point. Every week I watch the same episode of Scooby-Doo while I'm eating a Pop-Tart.
There's a repetitive nature with kids.
Yeah, but you know what? I love every minute of it. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's... I'm at a point right now where Saturday mornings are my absolute favorite time of the week because Christine and I do a flip-flop thing on the weekend right now where she sleeps in on Saturday and I sleep in on Sunday. So Saturday mornings, my morning with Spencer, and I usually get up about 7:30 with him because he gets up somewhere between 6:30 and 7:30 and he's ready to get up. So I get up with him and get him breakfast, and he's at a point now where he is starting to notice TV and he's starting to like actually be entertained by things that are on TV. So I get up and I get out all his toys and we turn on Netflix now, and I usually put on Sesame Street for him, or I've even been putting on some of the little Disney cartoons that are on there now. And it's really fun because it's just really neat sitting there with him and watching him get excited over seeing Cookie Monster on TV on Saturday mornings. And then once he kind of wears out and he falls asleep, time for his morning nap, then I switch it over to WWE Network and I watch wrestling on Saturday mornings. And it's just become like my favorite part of the week because it's literally the only time in the entire week where I can sit down and just kind of hang out, spend some time with my kid, and have a Saturday morning lineup. It's awesome. And I know
whatever you want.
And I know that, you know, the older he gets, we'll even get to kind of watch some other different cartoons and stuff, and this will be a thing. So I think that's kind of the most important thing right here. And on top of that, it's not like this is the death of cartoons. Cartoons are still being made.
Yeah.
You know, networks are still airing cartoons. We also have to remember that back in the heyday of the Saturday morning cartoon, there wasn't a Cartoon Network. There wasn't, like, even a Nickelodeon in those early days.
Yeah.
Like, there are full networks now dedicated to showing cartoons.
Yeah.
That didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
So it's just the whole evolution. Things have just come around, and it's just easier now to do whatever you want on a Saturday morning, and it's awesome.
Yep.
So Saturday morning cartoons have not died. They have gotten better than ever, in my
opinion.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, the option is just there. So just, like, seriously, stop putting so much effort into being mad about things.
It's just, that's the mentality of the internet, just man.
Love, man. Love it.
Do you see that thing on the internet? You're angry about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm angry about it. Like, that's just
and
the
I
internet.
Get, I mean, I get mad about stuff I see on the internet, too, but not so, like, I've never saw anything where I went, well, that's going to destroy my childhood.
Yeah.
I've seen a few things where I went, I'm not going to watch that.
Well, and you know, and I just keep seeing people like, oh, I feel sorry for today's kids. Why? They've got it way better than we did.
Oh, yeah.
Way better.
Except that every toy they want is $20 a piece.
Oh, yeah.
Well, other than that, they've got it way better.
The prices are awful nowadays. But talking
but
about
as far,
like,
as entertainment goes, they've got so many more options.
They've got so many more options than we ever did.
Thank you for, by the way, last time I was out here, you had a Scooby-Doo John Cena 2-pack.
Yes.
And I was saying my kid loves Scooby-Doo so much. And she doesn't watch wrestling with me a lot, but she always gets excited when it is on or whatever, but she doesn't really know anybody.
Yeah.
So once you gave me that 2-pack to give to her, very generous of you, thank you. And so we finally sat down and watched that Scooby-Doo WrestleMania mystery.
Yeah.
It was kind of a surprise for her one night, and halfway through I gave her those toys.
Yeah.
And it was funny, too. She got real confused because I gave her... We had already watched half the movie, so I was like, hey, you want this John Cena toy? And she's like, no. But she, like, looked kind of, like, scared of it, you know? It was just kind of like, I don't know what's happening. Why is all this stuff happening or whatever? And I'm like, you sure? Who is this? And she just looked kind of scared, you know? And I'm like, it comes with this Scooby-Doo toy. And then she brightened up a little bit. She's like, okay. You know? So I was like, oh, well, I guess she's not really excited about these at all. 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, 2 weeks later now,
yeah.
She plays with those things every day.
Really?
Like, she loves them. She's figured out, like, you know, she can say John Cena pretty clearly. Well, I mean, she could say it anyway. She just didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
But now she knows who the toy is, so she shows people her John Cena.
Oh, and stuff. That's so
she
awesome.
She watches these Play-Doh videos of people who have, like, Disney princess dolls, and they make Play-Doh dresses out of them.
Oh, crazy.
Which are, they're pretty cool, but she watches these on YouTube all the time. And so I'll come home, and she'll have John Cena sitting down on the table, and she'll just have her lump of Play-Doh, because she's only two, she's not really shaping much stuff, and she'll just be pressing Play-Doh onto him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Making him close and stuff like that, yeah, and it is
so
cool,
that
yeah,
is so,
so
cool.
Thank you very much, that was very generous.
Yeah, and YouTube, man, there's all kinds of cool content on YouTube. You got all these people like me that are just putting out crazy content.
There are girl yous out there.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
There are a lot of different...
But she has been watching, like, Disney princess toy reviews and stuff.
Absolutely.
And like,
the toy review thing is big with kids on YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I've really... That's been a boom thing for me in the past probably year here. I have a huge kid audience.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. But that's just what kids do now.
Yeah.
They get on YouTube... And they look up videos about their toys and cartoons that they like, and they watch all these videos.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep. She's gotten into, she'll watch baking videos on YouTube now. But
amazing.
It's usually, like, younger people doing the baking.
Right.
Like, there's one I've seen her watch several times. I think there's probably a couple of teenagers or something, but they're making a rainbow cake. And she just loves watching them make this rainbow cake. You know, she just adores it. But it's all this stuff. There's just so much out there, and it's just so much fun to just watch her.
Yeah,
take stuff in.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's so cool.
We could do a whole podcast of us talking about our kids,
right?
Too,
but... Yeah, everybody else would be like, "Ah, jeez." Yeah. But yeah, I could totally talk about that kid all day.
We'll just shut the mics off. We'll just talk about our kids. It'll be fun.
I think this is a good place as any to wrap things up. A lot of topics there to be discussed. And this weekend is New York Comic Con. So this episode is actually going to be probably going up the first day of Comic Con. So I can imagine once this event ends, we'll have lots of new things to talk about.
And there's been a lot of speculation of, well, probably next week at the Comic Con, we'll get word about this and that. And I don't know, because I got real excited around San Diego for the same thing, and honestly, I was a little bit disappointed with the amount of information that came out of there. There really wasn't a lot of huge tidbits. Now, this is one of the last ones of the season,
it
and we're getting closer to the holidays, so maybe they're going to use this. And I keep hearing that Marvel has some things to release.
Right.
They just, nobody will say, or nobody knows, one of the two, when they will be releasing or what they are, but... I guess New York Comic Con's a good time or any. Or maybe they'll do that weird thing where you go, Comic Con, cool, here's some news. Oh, we don't hear any news. And then randomly the next, like, Tuesday, they'll just release a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully
we'll
by
get
November,
something.
We'll get a whole bunch of updates on some of this stuff.
Yeah, well, New York's like the second San Diego right now. It's big, and it keeps getting bigger. So I think that we'll probably get something out of it. We'll have something to talk about on the next episode after the Comic Con. Mm-hmm. So. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode. Yeah. As always, if you want to chat with us, we are both on the Twitters, so feel free to drop us a line. You can use hashtag GeekEasy. It's what I usually do if you want to drop that in there. I am at PixelDan.
Yeah, and you can Twitter me at JLeonard31.
And you can always catch episodes of the GeekEasy podcast at pixel-dan.com, or you can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher, whatever your preferred way is of listening to the podcast. We should be on all of those major platforms, so subscribe to us. We would love that. That'd be awesome. That way you can keep up with us.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Spread the word.
Come on. The GeekEasy's open.
Except for right now, the GeekEasy is closed.
Yeah, I'm going to bed.
We're gonna go to bed. So we'll see you guys here next time in the GeekEasy.
The GeekEasy podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The GeekEasy podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the GeekEasy Podcast.